a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter at ESPN 975. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. The Astros have won 11 of 16. They took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Guardians. They won 4 of 6 on their road trip in Pittsburgh and in Cleveland, and right now have a commanding season-high 2.5 game lead in the American League West. They are doing this in spite of almost no offense in the first 3 innings of games this season. Hell, it takes them usually after the 4th and after the 5th to get going. They're doing this with a multitude of injuries on their pitching staff. And they are doing this in spite of all of the hype that we saw this offseason behind, one, the Texas Rangers, who are 31-35, and two, the Seattle Mariners, who are 33-31. Rangers are tied with the Angels, basically, for fourth place at this moment in time, which goes to show you how disappointing the Rangers have been. At least the Rangers do have a positive run differential finally. So there's that going for them. But I think that's largely a result of the fact that they have really good pitching. The Rangers, in fact, have the fewest runs scored in the American League this season. They have scored less runs than the White Sox. Yeah. They've scored less than them. Have they scored less runs than the Rockies? Nope, they've scored more than the Rockies.
Yeah, come on.
But only a few more than the Rockies. Could you guess how many more runs they've scored than the Rockies?
10.
17. Okay. Still, though, that's not that far
that's
off.
Not that, no.
That's four to five games worth of runs there. So the Rangers stink. The Mariners are playing poorly. And the Astros, once again, look like they're going to just waltz through the regular season.
Skippity-doo-dah, skippity-yay. My, oh, my, the American League West is ours. Today,
it rhymed, whatever. And I'm just wondering how. That's all. I'm enjoying it. But it's wild that they keep on winning and winning and winning this season in spite of the limitations. And you take a look at the schedule ahead. Why would this slow down? They're about to play the White Sox for 3 at home. After the White Sox, who did they play? The Twins. Honestly, off the top of my head, are the Twins doing well this season? They're certainly not.
They're 35-30.
Okay, so they're basically...
basically the same. They're the one Guardians. Game back of the Astros.
They're on your tier by record, but by respect. Do you look at the Twins? Are you scared of them? Then they play the A's. Then they play the Angels. Then they play a Phillies team that has been playing worse of late. They've lost 5 games in a row. The Cubs. They have the Rockies. Like, honestly, you take a look at the Astros schedule the rest of the first half. If you want to say intimidating teams, it's June 24th through 26th against the Phillies in a World Series rematch. And it's the 4th of July through 6th of July against the Dodgers. That's it, the rest of the first half. This should continue. But it's weird that it's continuing because they can't score runs early. And the pitching is really banged up and does not seem to be on the verge of being less banged up. They're going to be scraping things together probably through the end of July and hoping that some of these guys that are coming back from injury can come back from injury. I enjoy it. I'm happy about it. Perhaps there's someone upstairs smiling down on the Astros. I think that their attention could be better focused elsewhere. But hey, if this means that the Astros are once again going to be a playoff team, good. I do not want to watch a non-playoff team play baseball. Zero interest in that. Zero desire to do that. I'm just bewildered that it keeps on happening, and I am of the mindset that perhaps God wills this. God wills it! God wills it! God wills it! For those who don't know, Kingdom of Heaven, great movie. And there's this one guy who's definitely a warhawk priest. Seems a little bit aggressive with getting the army of Jerusalem and army of the Crusades out and on the run, because even in spite of the worst odds ever and poor leadership, et cetera, you know, this man believes that it's all about this.
God wills it! God wills it! God wills it!
I love that guy. I don't know. There's one of those random movie characters that just jumps out for no reason at all, except for the enthusiasm with which he says, one, God wills it, and blasphemy! Blasphemy! And then he just starts like a chorus of yokels behind him who all like join in immediately. Doesn't give any reasoning for it. Doesn't give any explanation. He's just got one of those like old school religion hats on. Not a bishop hat, like just it's just a little felt hat that he's got on. It covers his ears. God wills it. And that's sort of how I feel with the Astros right now. It's just God wills it.
Yeah, and it's
divine belief works.
It's almost less about like specifically the Astros and it's more about the other teams in the division. The rest of the division is, it's just like they cannot stop tripping. Like the Mariners cannot stop stopping. Like it seems like every night I watch the Astros game, it goes final, then I go about my night, maybe there's basketball or whatever, and then normally it's Mark Berman or Brian McTaggart.
Who's
around 11:30, I see a tweet before I go to bed of, haha, Mariners lose another one 3-2.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, okay. And it's like, it extends the Astros lead in the division where I'm like, oh, they didn't really have to like do that much. And they've now have a 3-game lead, 2.5-game lead, something like that in the AL West, where maybe it's just after last year, I'm like, wow, they're already up 2.5 games.
Right.
This thing's over. I don't know if it's over yet, but it definitely feels like it's more a statement to me about the Mariners and the Rangers than it is like the Astros are having some awesome season blessed by a divine power. It's more like the divine power smiting the Rangers and Mariners because a whatever 36-30 record or whatever the Astros have isn't exactly like running away and hiding.
No, 36-29 as things stand right now. That is among teams, the American League, get this. Now
it's probably like third, right?
Third most wins. Yeah. They are.
Maybe it's just the American League just stinks. Or at the top end. There's no like top end team.
Well, the Tigers are the top end team. And that's like, what? Exactly. I don't believe it. I almost feel like that's bogus. Even though the Tigers dust busted the Astros in that little fake ass series last year. They're 43-24. Who would have thought the Detroit Tigers would have not just the best record in the American League in terms of total wins, the best record in all of baseball. 43-24 is the top in terms of total wins in the sport. The Mets have the second most. They're 42-24. Wild.
Even if you thought, like, hey, they're a young team, kind of exceeded expectations last year, got hot at the end of the season, made not a run, but like you said, beat the Astros in the playoffs. Even if you're like, oh, yeah, I could see them maybe, you know, winning the division, or just making the playoffs out of the AL Central, you wouldn't have said, I think they're going to be the best team in the American League.
No.
Like, that is a crazy step up that they've taken.
Very crazy step up, which makes me feel like they're going to take an inevitable step back. And once again, I just think that this will be the mindset of Astros fans perhaps every year that Jose Altuve is still playing for this team, even if it's not the same Jose Altuve of old. You're just going to think, it's our God-given right to win the American League West. We will be in the playoffs, and I am not scared of any of these other teams that are in it. And here's the best part. Say the Tigers continue with this season, the Astros will definitely take the Tigers seriously this time around.
Yeah.
They needed a little bit of a wake-up call last year, perhaps for this year, the most important year, right?
Most important year of our lives.
Most important day of our lives?
Yeah.
The greatest day of our lives. But the Astros have this day off.
It is a good point that you make about, like, the AOS for Astros fans seems like a God-given right, because, like,
Look at how 2023 ended. Where like all these bozo teams just keep on pooping their pants. Yeah. And like you tried to lose the AL West and you still won it on the last day of the year because both of those losers blew it.
It's like a young teen with potential that just doesn't have any study habit, like never learned to study because they can just, hey, test comes, I can get a C and, you know, pass. That's basically what the Astros have been the last 3 years of, like, man, they really have not, like, they've not put forth their best foot, but it's good enough. Keeps being good enough, and they haven't learned their lesson. They haven't learned that they have to study for the final because, we can do this and just get a C and move on.
Behan in comments, an AL team isn't winning the World Series. Well, that might be true, but, I mean, if the Astros make it back to the ALCS, God wills it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's possible. Will I raise a banner for that? No. I will 100% be as... I will 100% be as into the movement, culty as possible, say they get back. Like, I will jump on the bandwagon and act like they're going to win every single game possible and be very insufferable and pander a little bit. That's what you got to do. But they keep on winning, and it's kind of hard to believe that they keep on winning, especially considering that the AL West keeps on losing.
Yeah. And they have the easiest remaining schedule in baseball.
The easiest. And by a significant margin,
it's
too.
It's crazy.
It's not even close. It's wild.
It's crazy because I don't feel like they've played a very hard schedule.
No, so, like, I don't either.
They've played some good teams, but I don't feel like it's been like some murderer's row so far.
No, it's not. They have tonight off. White Sox are next. They still haven't swept anybody. And yet, here they are. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
They have to sweep somebody. They just have to sweep somebody at some point.
Blue Jays didn't count, but we're just looking for the American sweep. A sweep of an American team. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call into text in 2:30. Who's got a case of the Mondays in the world of sports? You get to bring that to the table on the most interactive sports talk show in town. And the latest on CJ Stroud, plus is Nick Chubb actually capable of making a difference for the Texans in the 2025 season? We'll discuss. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros took 2-3 over the weekend against the Guardians. They did lose 4-2 yesterday. Play the White Sox after getting today off. A series starting at Daikin Park tomorrow night with Lance McCullers on the hill for the Stros. Did not pitch on Sunday. Joe Espada, Dana Brown had talked about how they wanted to give him a little bit more rest before his next start. He has been pitching well. You want to keep this going. Maybe this helps him keep it going. What's the latest with C.J. Stroud? Houston Texans minicamp kicks off tomorrow. It's mandatory. Generally, there are three practices, but the third one almost always gets canceled. There will be two open to the media the next 2 days. Will Stroud be back? We shall see. Here is what Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network had to say about Stroud's shoulder injury, which has kept him out of practice.
I have not heard anything to make me believe that this is going to be something long term. We've seen various reports saying it's Peckett's shoulder. D'Amico Ryans went full NHL coach. You know, John Cooper just saying it is general body soreness. Whatever it is, it's enough for them to not have C.J. Stroud on the field. You know, at this time, doing anything in terms of throwing the football here. But let's see, as we get into training camp here, what the reps look like. I can remember other times, for instance, with Dak Prescott, you remember when there was all kinds of, you know, questions and panic about Dak Prescott having, you know, limited reps, get another MRI. And it was like, no, I kept being told he's going to be fine. We're just, you know, being cautious because he pushes himself too hard. And sure enough, Dak was good to go. That was a couple of years ago. It was good to go at the start of the season. It could well be the same thing with C.J. Stroud.
It's so funny. The Texans are such a tight-lipped ship that a update, Paul said in quotation marks, about C.J. Stroud's health provided absolutely no update and turned into an anecdote about the Dallas Cowboys. That's not an indictment on Tom Pelissero, by the way. This is more, the Texans just keep things very close to the vest with Nick Caserio running things as well. So I can understand why some might be a little bit concerned by how you're hearing nothing about C.J. Stroud, and I totally would understand that. But I do think ultimately this will be a nothing burger that we will look back at months from now wondering why did we spend as much time on it there. But that update was something else, huh, Sean?
You're right that it just like 40% of that was about Dak Prescott.
Yeah. And then the rest of it's like, well, they're being really cagey, so I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything that would like scare me. It's like, well, because what, you nothing? Haven't heard anything.
You haven't heard anything. Yeah, right, exactly.
You haven't heard anything at all. So yeah, I mean, again, we'll do the same thing this week of does he throw, does he not throw? And then I don't know. I don't know what we'll do, Paul. I don't know.
I don't either. More when it comes to the Houston Texans. This is the latest from Ian Rappaport this morning, about an hour before the show, talking about the possibility of the Texans signing former Browns running back Nick Chubb.
The Houston Texans have agreed to terms with Browns Pro Bowl running back Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb headed to Houston today. Actually, probably is already there. Going to take a physical. Pending this physical, which I assume is going to be fine. He did suffer an injury at the end of last year. That was a long time ago. Pending the results of this physical, Nick Chubb, the longtime Browns running back, one of the faces of the Browns franchise, a four-time Pro Bowler in Cleveland, who is one of the best running backs over the course of the last decade, is expected to land in Houston. This one could have gone a couple different ways. Before the draft, the Browns had discussions with Nick Chubb about bringing him back. Those discussions did not land in a deal. They went to the draft. Browns addressed the position in the draft. The door was still open, but the Browns did address the position. The Texans did have a running back spot alongside Joe Mixon, and now they agreed to terms right before mandatory minicamp with Nick Chubb, an incentive-laden deal that should be done and finalized later today.
Breaking news as well. This deal is officially done. Per Diana Russini a minute ago, Nick Chubb passed his Texans physical. So Nick Chubb is a Houston Texan, everybody. What does that mean? We will see. I do not know that he will make the team. I do not believe it is a lock. I know the name brand itself is pretty cool to see on the Houston Texans. This is one of the best tackle-breaking running backs that we've seen in the NFL, honestly, ever, but especially recently. This is a guy who, over the course of his career, has averaged 5 yards a carry, and this is a guy who's getting high volume in getting that 5 yards a carry, but it's also somebody who suffered a knee injury at the end of the 2023 season and broke a foot last year. I do not think it is a lock that he makes the team. It's not just that the Texans have Damian Pierce. They drafted Woody Marks out of USC. A lot of people seem to like him. It's one of those mid-round draft picks. Sometimes running backs drafted in the third, the fourth round end up being very good, a la Damian Pierce a couple of seasons ago with Davis Mills under center and Pep Hamilton as his offensive coordinator. I like that they're bringing in Chubb. Iron sharpens iron. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not expecting anything out of Nick Chubb. I am not even necessarily expecting him to make the team. But I do think it's cool that they signed him, and I do hope that he makes the team. Because if this is the old Nick Chubb, awesome! Again, it's a big ol' if.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Chubb is like a classic running back that everyone remembers. Everyone's probably had him on their fantasy football team. And everyone's like, yeah, Nick Chubb, like that guy. And so when you see that he gets signed by the Texans, you're like, oh, that's awesome. And I understand that. But yeah, I mean, just given the state of his injury history the last 2 years, it's like, it's just tough to imagine you're getting like super high level. Even if you get 75% of Nick Chubb in, you know, backup duty where it is like he's getting what? Four carries a game.
Yeah.
Like that. This ultimately is not really changing your fate very much.
Except Mixon gets hurt.
Yeah. Unless Mixon gets hurt.
Right. And Mixon has missed time. Mixon, I mean, that's how Cam Akers got the reps that he got last season before the Texans traded him elsewhere. I didn't think Akers was that good in that spot, but hey, to each their own. I think Pierce has a lot of talent, Dameon Pierce. I think Dameon Pierce is probably better at this point in his career than Nick Chubb is at this point in his career. But also Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb. And Dameon Pierce has had a hard time figuring out the D'Amico Ryans era of Texans football, even though it does seem like D'Amico Ryans has a soft spot for him.
Yeah, I do wonder the Pierce thing, because like you said, he was good his rookie year. And then, because he had 1 year pre D'Amico and Slowick, right?
Right, yeah.
And so the last 2 years of his career have been in the Slowick offense, where if you want to tell me that he was just a poor scheme fit for that, like, okay, I'll buy it, but is it going to be a good scheme fit for the Nick Haley offense? That's the question I have, where if it's going to be the same thing, if they're asking the same thing out of running backs that they were under Bobby Slowick, then I don't really have any reason to believe that Dameon Pierce will like even show a little bit of what he showed his rookie year. But if you're telling me that this will be a different run game with a different scheme, then I'm okay buying in on Dameon Pierce. It's just that I don't know what Nick Haley is going to do running the ball.
That too. I'm with you, and I don't know what that offensive line is going to look like in front of him either. So
that too. Although, I mean, it's not like he had an awesome offensive line his rookie year.
No, that's true. That's true. They made it work somehow, some way.
Yeah, he didn't have a good passing game. He didn't have a good coordinator. He didn't, and he was awesome as rookie
on a bad team.
A bad team that was losing all the time.
Yeah. But that's what bothers me. It seems like a lot of people have just forgotten that Dameon Pierce was really good his rookie season.
Can I break some news to you, Paul?
Yes.
They probably weren't watching the 2022 Texans. A lot of the people talking about the Texans now did not spend a lot of time pre-Stroud.
I was one of those unfortunate few. Alas, earwax. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Who has a case of the Mondays in sports? It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. It is Monday at 2:30, and every single Monday, thanks to your contributions on this very interactive show of ours, we tell you who's having a case of the Mondays in the world of sports and beyond. Hit it!
Mondays suck! Dang. And these guys have it worst!
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Who has a case of the Mondays?
From the text line, I already got a couple of these. From the 713... and from the 832, Christian Walker. Yeah. Astros first baseman Christian Walker. But the thing is, it's not like he's been replaced in the lineup. So it can't be too bad of a case of the Mondays for Christian Walker. But in his series against the Guardians, Walker was a combined 2-for-12.
It's been a whole season of the Mondays for Christian Walker. Or no, there's was it the Mariners series?
Yes, he had the walk-off home run against the Mariners, and he had another, multi-hit game against the Mariners in that series. It might have been the walk-off home run game. But yeah, there has not been much from Christian Walker. There's also not a lot of alternatives given the injuries the Astros are currently dealing with Yordan Alvarez out, with Zach DiCenzo out, with Jazz McCormick out. So expect more Christian Walker. You know who else has a case of the Mondays in the Astros organization? It's finally over. Forrest Whitley, DFA'd over the weekend. A long time coming. I feel for Forrest Whitley. You try so hard as this super hyped prospect back in the day to make it at the major league level. Sometimes it's just not in the cards.
Yeah, especially like as a super hype prospect who would basically just get hurt every year. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like he had like the full like run out. I mean, he had a chance. He was in the Astros organization for a decade. But he didn't have, like, the full, like, I guess, shoot up the major league or shoot up to the major leagues as an actual promising guy. Like, by the time he made the majors, it was kind of, oh, well, he's a reliever who's only going to come in when it's kind of blowout city. And yeah, there's not much here. Like, he didn't really feel like he ever got a full, you know, the hype. I guess he always got a hype
train. He always was hyped. I mean, he's 6'7". He's a massive human being out there.
I guess what I'm saying is he never got to, like, actually try to deliver on the hype in the majors because he kept getting sidetracked and suspended or injured on the way up.
The chance that he had, 2018 was when he got suspended 50 games for violating the drug prevention and treatment program. I think it had something to do with Adderall.
I think it was something like Adderall. Didn't he have a story where he was, like, having to make a long drive, and so he just had some, like, whatever, gas station 5-hour energy?
Basically, the report was that... Hang on, this is loading all of a sudden. Who am I cheering for? Shut up, MLB Reddit. But per Chuck McKitnack, it was an unknown stimulant to help keep him awake while driving. So, this person's theorizing either Adderall or cheap trucker speed. Whitley was at an out-of-state college baseball game as a fan after his season was over and was given an unknown stimulant by a friend in order to keep him awake during his long drive home.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay, so he took Adderall.
So it was his fault.
Got it. It was Adderall.
An unknown stimulant. Yeah, we want it to be Adderall. How about that?
I mean, what else could it possibly be?
I don't know.
Trucker speed is actually almost worse. But yeah, so... Case shout out to Force Whitley.
He's got a case of the Mondays. For the 281, someone texted in. Jonathan Singleton would not have a case of the Mondays if the Astros signed him and replaced Christian Walker with him. That's true. Case of the Mondays. U.S. men's national team in soccer. Guess what? They lost again.
Oh.
They've lost three straight. Landon Donovan called them out because a lot of players sit out, specifically Christian Pulisic's dad. So now Christian Pulisic's dad is telling Landon Donovan to grow a pair of balls. So you got that. Landon Donovan said, this is not what it means to represent your country after their most recent loss. And Christian Pulisic, his response was, I think after having a conversation with, I'm not sure who, did he ask this to Gronk or something like that? But he posted on Instagram, this guy is talking about commitment. Look in the mirror and grow a pair. Call names out, or are you afraid next time you want an interview, you will get rejected again. So Christian Pulisic's dad, perhaps a loud person. Also, Pulisic's calling out that Landon Donovan took an extended sabbatical once. Landon Donovan took his sabbatical because he was feeling both physically and mentally exhausted after years of intense competition and the pressure that comes with being a top athlete. He's playing professionally from a young age and had participated in multiple World Cups, so he felt the need to step back and take some time for himself. This break allowed him to rest, travel, and ultimately return to the game with a refreshed mindset. Okay. But I mean, I have a question, and maybe I'm ignorant here. Did the U.S. even make the last World Cup?
Yes. They made the last one, not the one before.
Not the one before that. Okay.
They made the 22, not the 18.
Oh, that's how long ago it was? Dang.
Yeah, well, coming up on 4 years.
That's crazy. Anyway, U.S. men's national team, case of the Mondays. Angel Reese, case of the Mondays. Oh, boy. So, everyone was excited about the Indiana Fever-Chicago Sky game before Caitlin Clark got hurt. So, she missed the game. So you'd think, all right, well, the Chicago Sky, they got Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark's not playing for the Fever. Surely the Sky will win, right? Wrong, they lost 79-52. And making matters worse, Angel Reese, who did look pretty awesome walking into the arena and wearing some Cruella DeVille-looking getup. Reese had 3 turnovers, 4 points, and 12 rebounds. $3 tickets available at that game. If you're Angel Reese and you're losing to a team without Caitlin Clark on the court, that's got to sting a little bit. At least no one's talking about her as the subject of some sort of...
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably stings less, honestly.
Less culture war conversation about Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark today.
This game kind of came and went. glad.
Case of the Mondays. Who else has a case of the Mondays? I bet Cooper DeJean has a case of the Mondays. You know why the NFL took the end racism out of the end zones? Because racism is alive and well. Cooper DeJean may play more at safety and less at cornerback in 2025. That's racism. That's racism in action. Oh, a white guy gets a pick six in the Super Bowl, and we're going to move him to safety. Might be because C.J. Gardner-Johnson is no longer a member of the Eagles and is now with the Texans. It could be that, but I choose to blame it on racism.
Yeah. It's 2025. We're about to have a number one pick in the NBA draft. Let him play corner.
Yeah. What's up with that? What, more racist, Tom Cruise playing The Last Samurai in the movie The Last Samurai. The Last Samurai is a white guy?
Yeah.
Or no white corners in the NFL? I think it's no white corners in the NFL. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Also tough, Craig Kimbrell, DFA. He had one start with the Atlanta Braves. Didn't go so well. That's it. RIP, case of the Mondays for him.
Craig Kimbrell, a little bit of remember that guy.
Yeah, remember him? He used to be great.
Yeah.
Case of the Mondays, the Red Sox reputation once again. The reason that there was that dust up between the Angels and Red Sox a couple of days ago, the Red Sox first base coach was relaying pitcher's signs by the way that he moved and stood on the first baseline. So basically on fastballs, he would stand there, but breaking pitches, he would make some sort of side sachet, and people were actually able to make a read on what pitch was coming based off of that. Red Sox get a Red Sox. Bunch of cheaters. Unlike our beloved Astros. I mean, wait, I guess they're just like our beloved Astros. Just doing whatever it takes to try to win.
Yeah. They really skated on 2018. I know it's not a novel opinion, but like they also won the World Series.
Sure.
A season they were embroiled in sign stealing.
They like, did. That's
with
true.
The guy who did it on the Astros.
Yes.
Cora.
Yes.
Like they.
And it wasn't a big deal for whatever reason when they won, but for whatever reason the Astros making it and then losing in 2019, bigger deal. Yeah.
It must have been. It probably is because they were. Still competitive, still awesome for years afterwards, where the Red Sox did the thing where they won the World Series and then kind of faded away.
Yes. Case of the Mondays every single Monday at 2:30. Text yours in 713-780-3776 to call the text to YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. No game for the Astros tonight, but are they just going to keep on winning and winning and winning the way that they're winning? Despite their offensive struggles and despite all their injuries, will Nick Chubb, now officially a Houston Texan, have any impact on the team this coming season? And what do you think of what C.J. Gardner-Johnson had to say about what's next for this Texans franchise? All of that's on the table. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance for the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On YouTube, at ESPN Houston. On Twitch, at ESPN 97.5. From the 409, Bregman probably has a case of the Mondays after his new team got caught cheating. I bet he dusted off the apology statement and updated it. Well, did he use ChatGPT like a lot of people suggested that he used for his farewell to the Astros, which I thought was unfair that people immediately were looking for that, even if ChatGPT searching online did find that it was rather likely. It was more probable than not that some sort of ChatGPT was used to help make that toodaloo speech.
Which is strange because you would think that like, I mean, it's not hard to make a thanks for the memories.
It's not.
I'll always think of Houston as home. I grew up here. Shout out. Nothing but the best.
I think people are just a-holes, and whenever someone leaves, they feel jilted, and then they want to say, it was never real, was it?
Yeah.
To make it easier to separate.
But then also at the same time, when you have Altuve aging before your eyes, you're going like, man, what's up with this guy? This guy, whoa.
I'm not at the very least, but I noticed a lot of people during this past series.
You can't win. You can't win. No, you can't win when you're on the Astros, except for like all the division titles. You'll just win that every year.
Right.
But in the eyes of the fan base, it's tough.
No game for the Astros tonight. I do not know how they keep winning. I'm cool with it, that's for sure. I just don't know how it keeps happening other than divine intervention, because it doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. The big man upstairs might hate the Mariners, might hate the Rangers.
Definitely hates the Angels.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's true.
You can't say maybe with that.
No, they're named the Angels, and he's like, sacrilegious.
No.
Just cursed.
Nope.
Cursed for all time. I think for the Rangers, you know, it's Gay Pride Month. They're the one team that doesn't do the Gay Pride thing. So perhaps, you know, the man upstairs punishing him for that. And then on top of that, Mariners in the middle of a city that's very, very gay at times. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Perhaps getting punished for that, too. I don't know, man. I'm just asking the questions.
Too much pride. Not enough pride.
Too much pride. Houston's got the right amount of pride.
Goldilocks zone.
Exactly. Goldilocks zone when it comes to pride. You know? Anyway, also Nick Chubb, officially a Houston Texan. I'm not expecting much. That's not me saying that I think he's going to suck. I just think it's going to be tough for him to make the roster. It is cool to have signed Nick Chubb, but this is very different than trading for Stephon Diggs last year. Diggs, still a productive player. We will see with Chubb. I'm skeptical because he's coming off of a year where he broke a foot, where he averaged 3.3 yards a carry, which was a year where he was coming off of major knee surgery. So, things to keep in mind, but it is cool to have him on the team. I do not think this means Damian Pierce is gone. I do not think that this spells trouble for other Texans running backs on the depth chart. I think that Jawar Jordan's still in the fold as a practice squad or something like that. Maybe not, but I know that they drafted Woody Marks as well. Iron sharpens iron. They say that all the time, and after Joe Mixon, it will be very interesting to see who is their number two running back, but I still think that Damian Pierce is the front runner.
Yeah, I was having a hard time thinking of a comparison for this, for the Texans, or like in the past, like when they've done something like this, because I'm not ready to throw Ed Reed at them.
I saw a couple of rash comparisons by Big Sarge where he said a lot, this is, you know, like Amon Green to a lot of people. I don't know if it's like Amon Green, because with Amon Green, I think there were expectations that Amon Green would still be Packers Amon Green when they signed him. And with Ed Reed, there were definitely expectations that Ed Reed would be the Ed Reed that won a Super Bowl the year before with the Ravens. I don't think that there's that many expectations for Nick Chubb like that.
Vince Wilfork?
But Wilfork was still a solid player when they signed him. Yeah. So
there's not like that right like zone of, hey, we're taking a shot on an older guy with low expectations, because normally there is some expectation.
This is no lose. It's a no lose signing, but I'm just not expecting much. So that's Nick Chubb. CJ Gardner-Johnson said the Texans have to learn how to win against teams that matter. Essentially, I liked hearing that. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is not surprising at all. But if you were looking for Sydney Sweeney's Bathwater Bliss bathwater soap, it sold out seconds after releasing on Friday. Seconds.
Yeah. Never had a chance.
Never had a chance. I mean, she should do it again, clearly. Clearly.
Yeah, if it's selling out in seconds like it's a concert, like a you know, retirement tour concert, maybe you should just say second batch.
I'm embarrassed by how horny we are as men. I'm embarrassed at times. This is embarrassing.
How many?
It's funny for Sydney Sweeney. I would be laughing hysterically about this. What, the ultimate flattery.
I also think it would be funny to have the soap. Like, I feel like some percent of this is ironic.
Yeah.
But also,
do you use it, or do you just, like, put it on your mantle? Like,
it's a conversation starter.
It's a conversation starter in your bathroom. Yeah.
But, yeah, I wonder how many people are in on the joke, with this or versus how many people are actually like, oh, yeah, finally getting
sniffing
some.
It. Yeah. Just like getting high off of bar soap. It's a good question. Ozempic. Big news for Ozempic, everybody. It's the miracle drug that promises to shrink your size, except where it matters. Male Ozempic users say the Rambalama Ding Dongs have gotten bigger since they started injecting the weight loss shot, with dozens of well-endowed fellas flocking to online forums to fawn over their expanded members. Shout out to whoever wrote this up. Probably had a lot of fun writing this. Maybe too much fun. That's neither here nor there. I think this person might have busted out a measuring stick in the middle of writing this thing out. So, hey, if this is actually true, cool. I do think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the skinnier you are, the more of it you can see.
That's where my mind went as well.
Just a thought.
Everything around it is getting smaller.
Yeah.
It will at the very least appear to be larger. But if this is true, this is literally the greatest invention. In the, like, Ozempic, whatever company owns them, is going to be the rich company in the world.
It's getting annoying how many of these are out there that people are using, and then all the... There's no side effects that we've heard of. Everything that we've heard is like, it's great! It makes your dick... It makes your schmens are bigger! You know? Like... Great! Almost slipped up there.
Almost, yeah. It's like, you don't have to work out. You get skinny, and guess what, fellas? She'll like it, too.
Yeah, from the 832, that got bigger, everything around it got smaller. Good question. I don't know, but everyone's saying this.
It's a matter of perspective, I guess.
What a weird thing, too, by the way, to go to Reddit and be like, I just took some Ozempic, and guess what? Got a hog. Like,
this has been around for like 2 years. Like, we would have noticed.
Yeah, right?
Real.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have a fupa anymore. Congrats.
Big news in Japan.
Yeah. Ozempic size news?
Stop.
No, oh, sorry.
No. No jokes to be had there. The era of Japanese children being named ridiculous names may be drawing to a close. New regulations are designed to curb eccentric naming practices. They take effect this week. The Japanese government has implemented rules that will make it more difficult for parents to register flashy baby names like Pikachu from Pokemon, Pudding, or even Prince. I like this. Yeah, we should get away from these ridiculous names, which we do far too much of in our country. I suppose it is freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and it's not like we got a lot of people doing Adolf or anything like that, but... I do think that we've gotten a little bit ridiculous with some of the names. J-A-X, for example. F off.
Yeah, like, can we clean up the spelling? I think that's what we need. We need a spelling czar. Like,
a spelling czar?
This is way too many Y's to be putting in the name Kaylee, all right? Like, we need to clean this up.
Oh, there's... Kaylee's a rough one. It's either too many E's, too many I's, it's just... too many Y's.
We need a review board for this.
Like... Are you trying to sound like you're Mississippi trash? Because that's generally the impression I get. The kids can't control it, but the parents can, okay? Normal names. Bring them back. Less Jax. J-A-X. And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to everyone who listened. We appreciate you so much. Subscribe to the podcast if you missed anything. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. Leave a 5-star review. Maybe roast me. I'll read it on the air. Also, big thanks to our Twitchers, our YouTubers, callers, and texters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew...